And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have bought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
And a feared. There's Frank. God, man, he waits till the last freaking minute every time. You're killing me. This is, you know, Jay's like, yeah, we're just going to go in and talk and dad, yeah, God, can't wait on Frank. What the hell? You're killing
Hello.
Me.
Hello.
You're a doctor. Dr. Late.
There you are. Zoom wasn't connecting there. There you go.
Well, try doing it 30 seconds earlier. Seriously,
what can I tell you? It wasn't connecting. So wow, well, this is it's been we're like a week behind. I guess there's a few things to talk about this time. I don't even know where to start. There's so much to unpack on all of this, from the Trump report perspective. Are you guys safe? I assume you guys have been talking the last couple hours. Everything's good on your end?
Yeah, we're fine. You know, we're taking the bus in to be painted this afternoon. You know, so that's like a thing. We got to get a small version of our stuff. And so that'll take like a week. And we're probably going to get the Jeep and this one done and get all matched and be pretty. And then while I'm here at Jay's, I'm manual labor and freaking tractor doing, pulling, farming, whatever. And then we get it back, we'll probably go up to Derek's and do some more studio work. We got to do some audio balancing so everybody quit yelling at me. And then some other stuff. And then we go to Fork Fest. And it needs a week for the paint to cure. And then we'll decal it and everything while we're up there. That'd be like an event at Fork Fest. So that'd be fun. And doing interviews and traveling the country. And here, Jay, he got like hundreds of hogs. You know, they got cattle. They're opening their own, creating their own slaughterhouse and their refrigeration truck. I'm hanging and doing, and people will not be a starving up here. And they're getting all their meat cheap because Tyson says you got to kill them. Oh, and you're not supposed to sell them either. And it's amazing what's going on. But the solution is not paying attention and just doing.
Not getting all the meat cheap. Yeah. We're having a hard time finding steers and paying big money for them.
Well, you're being able to sell it for a lot.
We got piglets pretty right and market hogs. But, yeah, well, and, yeah, the steers were selling hanging, we're selling for $5 a pound, plus they paid a butcher. And we got all the half cows sold that we can possibly find.
So this is, Frank, and this is what I'm looking at. This is what I'm seeing, is the people that are solution. All right, we knew this was going to happen. We've been talking about it. A lot of the guys here, Jay, Derek, we were stocked up. Bob's out on his. We're fine because we knew what was coming and why. Well, now, as I look over the last week, I was just driving. And of course, I'd, go over the headline news and send stuff to be posted.
Yeah.
But I wasn't reading a lot of stuff. Then you send me some videos, and I look at some stuff, or you watch a little TV here, or Tucker Carlson goes on about whatever. But it has been – there's a fear generator going on trying to scare the living crap out of everybody. Are you feared? Are you worried? What's up?
Oh, I'm not fear. I mean, again, with most of our group, we've been preparing for this for a long time. I mean, we've been seeing the manipulation of this country through the media, through our politicians for quite a while. And I think if anything, it's sort of a sense of I don't know, shade and frown, I guess, of on the world. And for many of us, of our friends and neighbors, we're starting to understand this. In all fairness to them, I have found just in the last week, countless, I should count probably on my two hands, but it's still the very closest people to me. You know, I won't mention names. I mean, but how many of them are buying their first gun? People who, again, had never in a million years would think about purchasing a gun. I have people who are Democrats who have never voted Republican who are saying, look, I'm not sitting there in bed now with Trump, but I'll tell you what, this part, I don't know what is going on. Like the average person who has not been paying attention all this time, who sat in there, did kind of like an armchair American who just basically pays attention once in a while, maybe watches the presidential debates every 4 years and considers themselves, you know, MTV Rock the Vote tells them what to do. And they all think that they're edumacated, you know, as far as what's happening. And they're the first ones to argue with most of our listeners right now around Thanksgiving dinner, telling us that how crazy we are. Those are the people who figured this whole thing out. They're starting to wake up that there's something off and wrong. And they're seeing it in the obvious division of what the media is doing. They used to get away with this. It was much
okay,
more
now, wait. I thought this obvious. Was all happening to benefit the Democrats taking over and winning the House and Senate and every mayor's office of this is for them. No, it's not working that way. Is it blowback? Did they anticipate this?
Absolutely. Look, I know we have a couple of minutes till the end of the break, but I want to set something up for your listeners. And granted, maybe many of your listeners have figured this out by now. This is something that I saw the first 2 days, I guess, after that tape. I started doing research on that tape. I'll explain more when we come back. But if you haven't figured it out yet,
what are you talking about, that tape?
The video of George Floyd and the officer friendly there, you know, officer unfriendly. Okay. Yeah. So I'm sitting there watching that immediately. And something came to my mind just watching it. And one of the things that tagged it was that in a couple frames, you could see one of the officer was helping Chavez. I'm going to get his name right. That it was helping him hold down Floyd in a couple frames in that video. It's like the modern Magruder film, right? Was it Zagruder film? That's kind of like the modern version of it. But that couple frames, he looked like he was a minority. I thought he was black. And I kept trying to figure out the race of the other cop. And because they kept trying to say that this thing was racist. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, how is this racial? First off, and that's my whole thing I'm going to throw out
there. Yeah, people. I'm done with that.
You cannot prove anyone out there to this point that this has anything to do with race. And yet they spun this immediately, and they decided to pull everyone by the leash. And I'm amazed. I just hiked with a well-known Freedom's Phoenix person just a couple of days ago. We went out. We kind of just hung out. And this person didn't even think about it. He said, my God, I never even thought that far back. He just assumed. Everyone's assuming this is racial and that it's an issue of, well, you know, all lives matter, this and that, and Black Lives Matter now has turned into a political party, which I think Tucker Carlson made a great point on that one. So it's one of the few times I listen to Fox. But when you pull all this back, it has nothing to do with race from the very beginning. They spun this immediately. And the one time that Americans came together on this immediately, libertarians, conservatives, whether you had Rush Limbaugh, when you had Trump people and Black Lives Matter all agreeing that this is a law enforcement issue. That's what this is. This is a law enforcement issue. And that's a whole nother discussion. Okay. But the minute people were unified on this, they had to stop that immediately and separate us. It's like the minute the Kumbaya started, the people in charge, the only thing they have is division, the Sal division. And they saw this unification before this election. They saw white and black people getting together. They already knew that the black vote was dumping the Democrats for Trump. Then, of course, you know, just a few weeks ago, of course, we had the Vice President Dementia sit there and talk about, you know, what did he say about if you vote for Trump, then you're not black enough, right? He just made that comment. He was just hemorrhaging the black vote, and then this occurs, and now they have to sit there and divide this right before this election. So anyway, I want to just point out there's nothing to say that this is racial. There's equal evidence that you can say that this was against men. I mean, you've got more white men being killed by police nominally than, of course, black men get killed more proportionally. So
So with each group.
All right, we're going into break. We'll be back right back with Dr. Frank DeBury, Trump Report. But there's a bunch of questions. I'll let him go a little bit more next segment. Then I got a lot of questions. We'll be right back.
All right.
From the sixth letter of Captain Mark. A pirate's life is characterized by voluntary interactions. Unfortunately, the crown presses everyone into involuntary servitude. Landlubbers believe slavery was abolished years ago, but the crown still claims to own us when it crimps us into service against our will. Given sufficient ambition, it would gladly draft thousands of hapless victims to kill or be killed. It's simply slavery by another name. Landlubbers are routinely commanded to serve the so-called justice system in jury duty. But before you swell with civic pride, consider that how you feel is irrelevant to the crown. You will appear as ordered or face punitive measures. The crown insists that you participate in your own oppression. A jury summons provides pirates with a unique opportunity to obstruct injustices. A juror can vote not guilty, even if it's proven the law was violated. A juror can acquit for any reason at all, and not even a judge can reverse that verdict. Receiving a jury summons is basically winning the sedition lottery. But if you reveal that you know this during jury selection, you'll probably be dismissed. If the crown foolishly crimps a pirate into jury duty, it behooves the pirate to conceal their intention to nullify unjust laws. If a master takes 100% of your labor, it's called slavery. But if they only take 50%, they call it taxation. A difference of degree, not of kind. Whether the crown claims a fortune or a cent is irrelevant. Most of all, a slave owner desires contented slaves, meaning thoughtless ones that accept their bondage. These house slaves see no contradiction in being drafted in a war to end slavery or summoned to a jury to prosecute tax evasion. An ideal slave knows no higher call than the master's will. The crown's highest ambition is that its slaves revere the authority that subjugates them. But the crown does not own me. I will not surrender my time and treasure to the crown's ambitions. Join the conversation at piratewithoutborders.com.
So how are you?
Well, I guess all right. I've got, I just had my birthday, and I, you know, the birthday was supposed to have been a big celebration back east, and instead we're stuck here with quarantine, pandemic, riots, under house arrest from the governor, and watching.
Well, I called you on your birthday.
but you know, that was my birthday, so we
did. Oh, there's a graphic. Here's a graphic. It has a split graphic. Jay put this up, and it has these square posts about 3-4 feet high with ropes around them cordoning off people at the beach, okay? So they got, like, cattle. Then at the bottom of the picture, it has pens for pigs, look kind of the same thing. I'm going, wow, if that doesn't tell you what you need to know. You know, this is weird, man. Weird.
Oh, no, this is these people are so transparent. You know, it's funny. I realized how much I've learned from people like Charles Goyette, actually. But even before him, there was a book that I read.
Here we're coming back.
Radio Network at LRN.FM.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
And Dr. Frank Tamburi on the Trump Report. You know, Trump Report, do we even talk Trump anymore? Or do I care? You know, I never really cared anyway, you know, but it's just another guy wants to rule me. What do you think is really going on? As you're paying attention to the media and you're looking at it from your perspective of whatever, a lot of people are, what do you think the attitude is? They're more likely to vote for Trump, and they better be doing a mail-in ripoff or what?
Oh, absolutely. Look, we're really, of course, you know, this is typical Ernie. We're skipping to the end, which is the part that you like. But I'll tell you what, this is not an issue whether Trump's going to win. The question really is Trump going to take California with him? That's a whole other discussion. Ooh. Because, you know, this is going to be the landslide I've been talking about to you guys for a long time. This whole election has nothing, and I've argued with you for a while, and I think, you know, you and I are, we see eye to eye a bit more on it. Not that you've, you know, you at least respect my opinion on this, and I think many people have agreed with me. This is not about policy anymore. And I saw this years ago. You know, the reason that I went from Ron Paul since 1988, I may add, you know, I've been a libertarian, as the audience of this show kind of knows, for a long time. I understood about the Federal Reserve and the issue of this and that, and, you know, the petrodollar and all of this stuff. and I've been fighting for these policy issues all this time. But seeing how Ron Paul was railroaded, how just deeply established the establishment is, you know, no, I guess pun intended, seeing just how the culture was getting torn apart, as someone who's traveled the world and lived overseas in Japan and Asia and been to the Soviet, well, the Soviet and the Russia. I was there actually a few years after the Soviet Union fell, so there were still these overtones when I was there. Anyway, long story short, is that when I've truly traveled, you understand what American culture is, and yet Americans don't think we have a culture. There's also a whole fight about Western civilization. I mean, this is such a larger issue. And when I started to see how the establishment squashed people like Ron Paul, like what they did with Ralph Nader with that famous video, like what they did with Ross Perot and threatened the life of his daughter, if you remember that. You know, what they did with other people in the past, not to mention Bernie Sanders, you know, whether you love or hate his policies, you can see what they try to do to him and why people are so angry that the people who support Bernie Sanders have been railroaded twice by the establishment, then kept under house arrest for the pandemic in these Democrat strongholds, and then all of a sudden just let loose with this false narrative that the man is out to get you if you happen to be black and if you're a minority, and just completely let this thing explode. All of this is feeding into Trump. But anyway, like I said, the Trump election, and this is what I argue with some libertarians, is that we're past the concept now of the point of, well, whether or not the Federal Reserve should be banned or not, which of course it should, or about pulling all the troops back on day one and eliminating the petrodollar and blah. I get all that. I didn't lose my libertarian cred, despite some people. But this is, we've passed that Rubicon. And I think whether you agree with me 100% or not, you understand my point. That's what this election is. And I've never spoken like Sean Hannity that this election is the most important of all time. Yeah, I mean, it's like walking papers for those guys. But this is, and I think the average American is starting to understand that this is not about abortion. This is not about flag burning. This is about the core of this country. And it's about to be taken over by a cult. That's what these people are. It's not just the Black Lives Matter. These are cultists. This is a group that has lost their mind. They're literally bowing down and taking a knee before people out of fear, subjugation. I mean, we're watching this live within a few days, within what, a weekend? We went from, you know, it's like the police reform to all of a sudden disbanding the police and then taking all their guns away and getting rid of, and now putting Black Lives Matter people in charge with guns. I mean, my God, I mean, the libertarians have been talking about private police for a long time. They're laughed at, but now it's like the other people. So now we've got a world where law-abiding citizens are not supposed to have guns, and now the police are not supposed to have guns. So what would happen? We literally just have the whole criminal system having guns. What do you think that does for Trump? I mean, this just keeps piling on. I want to get back to in a second, though, about why this is not racial and the deeper issues here. But yeah, it's such a loaded point. But yeah, it is the Trump report, and it does play into him. And one last thing is, this to me is round three of the screaming memes, as my grandma would say. Remember those SJW women that we used to see with the pink hair screaming when Trump won? Think about that. This is round three. The night that Trump won, you had the first one, right? That when he won, you had the riots of the people screaming outside like this, right? It was just like there's like a bunch of petulant children who didn't get their way. And they exploded on the scene after election night. Then round two was the so-called Women's March. It had nothing to do with women. And I was there. I marched in there with Dr. Feaster. The two of us marched with all of our Trump swag amongst almost, what, close to a million or whatever of women with their little pink pussy hats, they called them. And they sat there and they called it a Women's March. It wasn't. It was nothing but an excuse to just cry out and scream, you know. We didn't get our way, right? And so now we have a third one. That's what this is. This is another event that they're dressing up as it's about police brutality and about racism. And you've got all these companies like Amazon and every company, including my naturopathic profession, that had to put out a statement from the National Association that we condemn racism. And everyone's taking a knee and throwing
money. Hey, wait
a
minute. They had to put out the doctor or so. What? What do you mean they had? Why?
No, I'm just saying all these, I don't know if you're watching, I mean, in all seriousness, all these companies are all bending the knee, just like you're seeing politicians and cops bending the knee, literally on television, surrounded by people, watching them. It's like Zod from Superman 2. You make Superman bow before him. Screw that. And that's what these people are forcing you to do. And these corporations are doing the same thing. It's extortion money. Every company now, I don't know, it's like, I don't know if it's OfficeMax. I'll just throw them out as some example. But every company out there, Ernie, now is making statements, putting on their websites, throwing everything out, saying we care about Black lives, and it's almost like we're in Black History Month.
Okay, let me go ahead. I want to share perspective on this. Right. I've been through this before.
Money, and it's extortion. It's extortion.
My turn. This is one thing that I want to share is that during the 90s, they did the same thing with guns. It was you had all these people coming out of college. You get trained. They're lawyers. They're accountants. They're bean counting. They're insurance. They're adjusters, liability evaluators, blah, 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 blah. And they would convince the boards or, hell, the board of directors or, you know, the same they, them, those. It's all a plan. And they get the people in and they go, this is the narrative that we're going to do. The narrative is, it cost us money and it cost us customers and it cost us if we allow guns or have guns or they got guns or they talk about guns or we hate guns. So they all say we don't like guns, you're not allowed to have guns. Then you find out that the liability goes up. Then you start having more death, dying, and destruction. Then you start having, you know, people, it's a gun-free zone, it's OSHA for criminals, they get to go in to schools, they get to go into the cafeteria, they get to go in and they just lay waste to everybody. Hell, they go on military bases and they're not allowed to have, you know, guns available and they kill there. So this has been a plan. Well, when these guys come in and they say all this stuff and they start to emphasize all these things, what are they doing? There's a plan being implemented. There's something else going on. Are the people seeing through it? You know, I think they are, but what is the motivation behind this? Why are the politicians all taking a knee? Why are they, you know, defunding, disbanding, doing, I mean, we'll talk about it when we come back. Yeah, I lost my train of thought because you wouldn't let me freaking whatever.
I'm sorry. Dude, man, I've been cooped up behind this mic for like 2 weeks watching this. I can't, of all weeks that you had technical problems. I know it's not your fault, but man, I was dying. It was like, it was my birthday and it was the whole meltdown of this country. And I'm thinking, at least I get to just vent on Ernie's show. And then we had to cancel the show. And so now I've got 2 weeks plus coffee and,
We got it set up. I can at least be able to do the audio local interviews here, but it's going to be next week, next Tuesday, Wednesday before I can, you know, start doing streaming whatever shows. But we still got another week or two of, you know, building the studio to get to where I need to be.
Hey, by the way, before you continue, did you? I sent another text to Don. I don't know if she got it. Do you have that Carl Sagan video? I sent it to her. Do you have that ready to go? I wanted to come back with that, or at least talk about it next week.
She doesn't. She can't pull it up. What is the blue dot thing?
No. Are you able to play anything on YouTube right now if I give you the link?
Probably. If you do it right, freaking not later, and don't wait till the. Right at the last minute of you're killing me.
Dude, that's why I'm talking to you now. What else can I do? I just sent you the link. It's on YouTube. Right. Put up Carl Sagan and Venus.
Well, let me...
Man, you really expect miracles. This is like, what are you...
I expect on time. You can't freak...
Like
you're killing me.
I'm sitting there. I already gave you the video, man.
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, well, blame Donna. It's all Donna. Okay. Okay, now what am I looking for? Is it on YouTube?
I already said.
Okay, answer the question. Is it on YouTube?
Yes.
I pushed that button. Okay, now it's on YouTube. Now I want to put in the search for what? What am I searching
Carl
for?
Carl Sagan and Venus. I already said all this.
Hey, you're confusing me with somebody that was listening. Okay. Carl.
Well, I'm curious. Whenever we got married.
Sagan.
I forget the honeymoon, Ernie. Christ almighty. Yeah.
Should okay, come right Carl Sagan minute. Talks about. About a Venus and Barrera probes, or Carl Sagan Venus short segment, nice music. Carl Sagan on. I got a bunch of Carl Sagan Venus. Now what? What does it say?
It should be a minute and 20 seconds. It says it's Carl Sagan on superstition.
Okay, there it is. All right.
That's it. So when we come back, just give me 30 seconds to introduce it. Let's play it. It's really quick, but it sums up my point. It's me.
Okay, is it coming through this? Okay, it's not going through that. Why is it not going through that? Did it come through this computer? I may not be able to do it. All right, hold on. I pull it through this computer.
We could do it next break instead of it's a problem.
Oh, no, everything is a problem. That's why we're, you know, that's why I need a week with Derek getting all this stuff done.
Yeah.
And I sent to Donna, didn't do anything now. Okay, Carl Sagan, Venus superstition. Boom. Okay, now which one is this?
The first person to look at Venus through a telescope was Galileo in 16.
Okay, can you hear that?
But all he could see was a...
I can't, but I'm sure you can.
Yeah, see, it's not playing through. All right, there we go back. All right, we're back with Frank Tamburi. I can play it, but you can't hear it. So it's, I mean, you can hear it, but Frank can't. So Carl Sagan.
That's no problem.
Carl Sagan on superstition, observation, nothing, conclusion, dinosaurs. All right. So you're a big Carl Sagan fan. What are we talking about?
Wait. Before you play it, I just wanted to explain. So obviously it's pretty random, Carl Sagan, after that whole rant about the world falling apart. So basically, this is from Cosmos. Carl Sagan, you guys, you're young, you're a great scientist.
Minute, 28 seconds.
Science, yeah. Blah, blah, blah. It's a minute and 20 seconds. Anyway, the thing is, this is exactly, just hold, listen to, he talks about the planet Venus. Listen to about logic and what we're seeing, what's going on with George Floyd and this whole racist issue and how the system has completely turned on its head about logic and trying to convince you of something that doesn't exist is exactly what happened to astronomers with Venus. So just go ahead and play it. Makes the point.
All right.
The first person to look at Venus through a telescope was Galileo in 1609. But all he could see was a featureless disk. And as optical telescopes got bigger, that's all anybody could see. A disk with no details on it at all. Venus evidently was covered with an opaque layer, thick clouds concealing the surface. For centuries, even the composition of the clouds of Venus was unknown. I mean, you could go outside, look up, see Venus with the naked eye, observe sunlight reflected from the clouds of Venus. What were you looking at? What were the clouds made of? Nobody knew. As a result, imagination ran riot. The absence of anything you could see on Venus led some scientists and others to deduce that the surface was a swamp. The arguments, if we can dignify it with such a phrase, went something like this. I can't see a thing on the surface of Venus. Why not? Because it's covered with a dense layer of clouds. Well, what are clouds made of? Water, of course. Therefore, Venus must have an awful lot of water on it. Therefore, the surface must be wet. Well, if the surface is wet, it's probably a swamp. If there's a swamp, there's ferns. If there's ferns, maybe there's even dinosaurs. Observation. You couldn't see a thing. Conclusion. Dinosaurs.
All right, that it did it. If you couldn't see anything, there must be dinosaurs.
Yeah, exactly. That's the punchline. And that's sort of what we have here. What we have is what? We have a law enforcement officer that apparently, I'm just going to use apparently, not to sound too legal, but, you know, I think we could all see from the video the guy, you know, killed Floyd, but until that's proven in a court of law. But essentially, we have a law officer, right, who killed an American citizen, right, that was a suspect. That's all we know. That's it. That's all we know. Clouds on Venus. And somehow that's turned into, my God, it's racist, and we're bending knees, and don't you understand that the deep-seated racism since Thomas Jefferson owned slaves, and on and on and on. And I mean, this whole thing has exploded, and people can't remember just a week or so ago, using their own eyes or using their own brain, there was nothing racial about this. Okay, and somehow we got the dinosaurs. So I start to go through this, and let's go through all the evidence or lack of at this point, right? First off, you've got how is this guy a racist? By definition, racists believe that the white race in this case would be superior. That's what racism is that you believe that your race is superior to all others. It's not because if you say that you don't like rap music, that's not racism. You want to say it's prejudice or discriminatory? You know, use other words. Expand your lexicon, you SJWs. Okay, but stop diluting the term racism. You don't understand what the damn thing means. It's turned into a catch-all in order for people to self-flagellate, for people who went with our education system, or to try to shame and neuter and just silence everyone else. Okay, but that's not what the word means. And second of all, how can this guy be a racist when, first of all, he's married to an Asian woman? So why would he be diluting the superior white race gene pool by doing that, right? That's the first thing. So he's married to an Asian person. His partner is Asian, whose looks apparently, or at least his name sounds Thai to me, or I'm sorry, a Vietnamese, what it sounds like. I'm not sure it's confirmed. And then the other two officers, one of those officers is black. And I don't know if he's half black, whatever. I don't care. But the point is, these inner city police officers, almost by rule, they have to be interracial. I mean, just to avoid the appearance of being racist. So that's why I started investigating this immediately, because you don't have just simply white cops running around together in Philly, Chicago. Doesn't happen. And of course, that's what you have. You have a white cop buddied up with
yeah. See,
Asian
I'm not
cop.
Looking at the racing. I hate spending so
of
much time on
not.
That. It's just it's cops. You know, it's this elite
exactly.
mentality of, you know, we rule you and you didn't lick my boot or respect my authority, and the professionalism of protecting rights is not even it's they're just the goon squad, you know. And so I'm not yeah. I don't like this. I don't even like talking about it because that's not it. That's not what's going on. It's they them those, and the, you know, the power comes from the barrel of a badge. And I'm. And when this stuff happens, I don't see, you know, I don't even have to see it, you know, other than the knee on somebody's throat, you know, what color of the, I'm going, it was blue versus not blue. It was a, you know, a thin blue line wrapped around my throat. It was a left jack boot
yes.
or the right jack boot or the jack boot on your throat party. You know, this is what I see, and I think a lot of people are starting to see this. They're starting to
yes.
default
yeah.
to where it is government. It is this power. So when they start talking about defunding the police, what are they, you know, replace it with nothing, which would suit the crap out of me, because it doesn't matter because their pensions are going to go to crap anyway, and they got to keep them paid. You know, I tell you, people, let me I want to make this prediction. Here's Ernie prediction, you know, on the morning of 6/9/2020. You know, this is Tuesday, January 9th. My prediction is that you're going to see the cops, the police, the fire, the military, they're going to go through the same phase that the Soviet Union did when they're told to bring the tanks in to go up against the people. They're going to go, why? They're not paying me. They took my pension. You know, I'm not getting the, you know, support and the props from whatever hell I'm with them. So that will start to happen, and yes. almost like they expect it to, but what was with them mean? You know, if you got with them, it's not the people, and they got in the media saying that the people in the streets and them is Antifa, if it's Black Lives Matter, which is not even, usually you're trying to combine the two, and they're not the same, you know, so... I start seeing all of these. Yeah, sorry, I had the volume loud when I'm, you know, going at it. You know, when I'm seeing the two, and I have Antifa getting training, and then I talk about, you know, it's Soros money, it's them those money going in to do and Clinton Foundation of China of the philosophy of they them those of whatever coming in America. No, what's your proof? I'm going, oh my God, what? You know, how do you not see what's happening? This is not normal. So,
well, Ernie, I'll tell you, there's another. I mean, I know you want to get to that part of it, and I'll bring it up now. I want to get back to the race thing in just a second. But I'll tell you what, you're asking where the end game is. Attorney General Barr just talked about that if we're trying to disband the police, the other option is, in order, since people are scared, what happens if we don't have the cops, God forbid, or pre-privatized can't have that. So therefore, I guess the other solution is to go the other way and to federalize the police. He's now talking about that maybe all the police should be under one unified system. So therefore, there's standards that are met from all the police departments. That, to me, I think is where the end game is with this.
What end game? There's an end game? What do you mean end game?
Well, I'm saying, as far as law enforcement, they always scare you really far to one side that we're going to have them all. We're going to disband the police and roving gangs and posses, which, you know, heck, I don't have a problem with that, especially with Sheriff Joe's posse out here. But that's another story. So we're going to have private police. Of course, then the issue is like, who controls the private police? And when people say, realize how crazy that seems to most people, then they're going to say, well, we have to do something. So we have to do something after all of this. And the answer is going to be, well, I guess we need to nationalize and standardization, sort of like we did the standardization of grade school.
Nationalize. You know, yep, school. Here we go. I tell you what, how about I decentralize the police down to Mr. Glock on my hip? You know, how about that? You know? And that's where it's kind of going anyway, and certainly in certain parts of the country. But it's, Vujan Day moment. We haven't been here before. Yeah, it's a Barry Hess thing. He goes, yeah, we're in a Vujan Day moment. I don't think we've been here before. God, my levels for the stream are just all over. It's not me. I mean, it's very touchy on, I need to get a digital instead of an analog. We have a piece of equipment that I haven't installed yet because I don't even know where the hell it goes. But Derek will get it. We're getting there, guys. I'm sorry. You know, the audio stream on LRN is probably pretty good. And then when I do the MP3, I balance everything so you know when you're listening to it later, it's not as much whining from people. But so they got their volume way down. Then I talk, whoa, and it goes. But I keep. When we talk off air, you know, we're talking in the studio, I turn it down. They got turn it right back up. I wish there was a mark, and it's not on this dial. It's not. It's too sensitive. It'll just, you know, be way up or way low, you know. So I'm working on it. We may have to change mixers. But that's what this shakedown is to get this stuff all taken care of. And the big problem we had last week, the reason we couldn't do it is mostly because I'm driving. You know, by the morning, if I do the show, it's 9 to noon. Hell, half the day's gone. I could have been 300-400 miles, you know. And then I had problems with the running lights on the Jeep, you know, so I couldn't drive at night, which I didn't really want to anyway because I want to sleep when it's not hot, you know, blah, 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 blah. So, you know, all this stuff are working out. You know, I've been in a text conversation with Luke Radowski, and two things. One, it looks like he may do a fifth wheel thing and start going on the road too. So, he might do that. He won some pointers on whatever. And then the other thing is how am I doing my communication? Well, he said Google Fi has its own phone data service now, like Verizon or something. Google Fi has a good package that you can do. Of course they do. Of course they. I bet they got the bestest of the bestest. You know, for Google, we got the Hellfire Missile GPS coordinates of whatever. You know, so I might look into that to see what's up. But I'm waiting on. I'm really interested to see how this Elon Musk Starlink thing goes, because it could be really free us, or it could be another link in the chain to the crown. So I don't know. I don't even really care. They surveil the crap out of me. I don't want the censorship. Yeah, I'm right here saying it. What are you going to do about it? You know, boom, you're dead. Oh, okay, that's what you're going to do. So it's a good test out here. I'm glad we're out here doing this, you know, leaving Dr. Frank there to suffer in the heat. Is it hot?
Yeah, well, it's hot, although I have to say our new place has a kick-ass air conditioner. So we haven't – normally in other places we're always fighting with the air conditioner, but can't even notice it. So it's been bearable stuck inside.
Our Port-au-Prince place, that's one thing that was – of all the places we lived – that had a really good insulation. They had like 2 feet of blown in the attic, and it was air conditioner work. I didn't have to worry. I mean, you know, I'm paying extra on electricity, but I didn't have to worry about it. And if I got that hot, I'd jump in a pool. So I'm going, air conditioning is life support in Arizona, man.
Yeah.
So how's business?
Picking up, actually. I finally got my new office all set. I posted, put everything up there. I have an interview from a doctor from Bosnia, actually, on Thursday. So it's 9 hours ahead, so I have to do that one. So, you know, it's things are all picking up. You know, my business is basically older men, and they were the last people who wanted to be flying since I have an international practice during all this. Plus, my practice, as many of you know, changed. And
we're coming back. Here we go.
Anyway.
FM.
There are those that just want to be left alone. And those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
And semi-Trump report with Dr. Frank Tamburi. You know, is this a Trump thing? You know, I'm getting it always seems to come back to Trump. And I'm wondering, you know, is that what the goal is of all this? Is Democrat socialism takes over the world, or they starve us? Or what's the end game here, you think?
Well, I mean, we've covered on the show through the years here, this is not about Trump, and people keep thinking it is who haven't been paying attention, especially people on the left who, as we've said, statistically get less than 5% of their news and cultural influence from conservatives or libertarians or anyone else but the bubble in which they're in, or at least they don't think that they're in. Conservatives get 35% on average of their news and culture from the other side, often when they don't even want to, when you're stuck at some airport and you got to watch CNN. Which I know those days are changing, but nevertheless, it's a nonstop that you're forced to hear both sides, and you understand. And as you said all the time, the more that you understand the opponent's moves, then you'll probably win. It's when people don't understand and can't think from the other perspective is how you tend to lose the argument and maybe the overall battle. That's ultimately what's happening. Why many of us can see this, and more people are being red pilled or whatever word that you want to use. At least let's say they're starting to understand that their own party, that this is not about, you know, what achievements Democrats have done through the last 50 years or 100 years. This is a deeper issue of that their party's been co-opted by a cult, by people who do not represent what they believe in. And a lot of these moderates are homeless. They don't know where to go, and they're starting to be forced to look around. I'll give you just one example. Just one. I have so many examples of my own family and friends of people who are talking to me finally after all these years. I stopped talking to them. I had a friend, someone actually, we spent 2 hours. He finally wanted to learn about the petrodollar and about how we got into all this mess. I had a 2-hour talk with someone. It's very, very close to me. It was a real special conversation. I have a person who's on Savarda's, you know, family and friends, who's constantly been just, you know, I can't believe you believe anything Trump. He lies 50 times a day. Somehow, he just wound up telling Savarda just a couple days ago that he was watching the news or just somewhere a video and saw Donald Trump give that speech that he gave at NASA, talking about, you know, the first half was about George Floyd and how appalled he was and how, you know, talking about, you know, his views and just whatever. It was a great speech. You know, there's nothing in there that really was in any way controversial. It was a wonderful, one of the best speeches he's given, right? And this person saw the speech and said, wow, you know, I never really saw a full Trump speech before. And yeah, I can't disagree with anything. And then he just happened to switch over to CNN or one of those channels. And it was like he saw a completely different thing. You know, they were spinning and cutting and editing everything. And for the first time, I know for this audience, you're like, well, you know, what else is new? You know, who's listening to Freedom's Phoenix? But to have average regular people being able to see just black and white now, just they're not even hiding it anymore, just the absolute lies. And these are places like the New York Times that supposedly had a, you know, this stellar reputation. And the New York Times.
This is one thing that I want to make sure people understand that I'm starting to see. They don't. I say this a lot. Now people start to see what I'm talking about. One was, you know, they don't need to convince you. They just need to convince you that your neighbors are confused or convinced or crazy. You know, it's your neighbors that voted for them. It's your neighbors. It's everybody else. You're the one, the only one that thinks this way. Everybody else thinks this way. Just go on social media or the media or lamestream media so last century. Do that, and that everybody thinks this. You're the only one that thinks what you're thinking. And when you start to find out, nah, I'm not, and you go on alternative media, you start to see people you respect and the credibility of, and I'm calling BS on it, boom, you're censored, you're banned, you're not allowed. And I'm going, when you start to see this, once you see this, you can't unsee it. And I think what's happened is they want to confuse you into thinking, and we got to do mail-in voting because of COVID, the Democrats won, so saith the computer. And you're still voting? It's not going to make any difference. This is what I'm talking about. And whenever for over the years I would go, look, it's not going to happen all at once. You're going to see all this stuff and pieces being positioned and moving around, but it will happen overnight. Well, I'm sitting here going, hello, it's Monday. I'm going, this is the overnight. Everybody's going, what happened? I go, they were moving their chess pieces. They were getting everything all set. They were having all these people in positions of accounting, in insurance, in large corporations, and board of directors, in the media, in politics, and all the money that they would spend in the foundation of the philanthropic, whatever the hell of, I got a bunch and I love humanity and I'm going to spend getting so-and-so elected to mayor and city council of Atlanta. You know, I have a guy who lives in Atlanta. He goes, what's your proof that, you know, Soros and them money in Atlanta? I'm going, God, I didn't even had the effort to even freaking, you know, just Google Soros money Atlanta. I mean, Ernie, I already know what's going to happen, you know? I just don't care.
Ernie, this has been great to have this. We should start putting this on your show. This is exactly what we saw in Revenge of the Sith. Initiate Order 66, right? I mean, the entire series was getting everything set up. The Emperor got everything, all the pieces in place. And then finally, boom, we're now the Empire. And bam, Order 66 and all of the clones that everyone thought were their friends turned. And it just happened overnight. And all of a sudden went from one side to the other, and people's heads were spinning. That is what we're going through right
now. Okay, this is what I just did. I just did because I was thinking about it. I put Soros money Atlanta. $1 million Soros gift gives Georgia Democrats money advantage. Right ring conspiracy. You know, I mean, George Soros Foundation pledges $130 million to go, you know, the foundation is contributing $12 million to relief in Atlanta, Atlanta, Chicago, blah, blah, blah. It, you know, I knew all I had to do is just type it in, you know, and it's everywhere. You know, this whole thing is a plandemic. It's a scamdemic. It's an excuse to do. There was an inevitable financial crash in search of an excuse. And they needed to be able to control people, to stop it, you know, to censor. You're not saying it right. You're not doing it right. You need to vote this for this person and not that person, definitely. And if you say something different, you're not allowed. You're ostracized from all the platforms or yada, yada. And that's like, I'm saying they're private platform. Do what the hell they want. Oh, but they're a public space. I don't give a crap. If they can, they are. Last night, Tim Pichot invited me just to, you know, do me a solid. We were busy and eating dinner, and I didn't get into the first, four-fifths of it, 3-hour-plus thing. They had dozens of influencers, you know, talk show hosts and so on. So it's like, you know, Ben Swan and Luke Radowski and Burmis and a bunch of the other guys that, you know, you recognize a bunch of them. We've had them on Freedom's Phoenix and so on and on the show and their videos. And so it represented millions of subscribers. Well, I came in, and they should have told me there was a 2-minute limit. But anyway, so I go in, and Tim introduced me and, you know, who I was and what I was doing. So I went through and then had Jay come on and say the solution. And, you know, it's food. I go, this thing is going to be about food. We saw what was coming last October, and we got ready for it. So all you guys start talking about this stuff, the solutions that people have, they're going to ban you for that. They're going to go, no, hell no. We're lower security. No, we don't want people out there taking care of themselves. We don't want people having solutions. We don't want people being able to survive this thing. We don't want people to be able to outlast us. We want them to know why they need our central command of universal basic income. And I'm going, this whole thing is about a consolidation. They had to kill America's middle class. That was what has been in their side forever. Oh, and by the way, they got guns. So now I think they saw the desperation of decentralization and technology that people don't need them anymore. So they had to pull the trigger. And
exactly. Well, like, you're
and the finances are done. Their pensions are done. You got tank commanders of, you know, a Soviet Union in Moscow. Ah, screw it. I'm with them. So now when they're doing the take the knee crap, what the hell does that even mean? Please let us keep our pensions? I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, well, the financial crisis, you're right. They know it's on the horizon. And the thing is, they had everything in charge that they were going to be in charge when it collapsed. And then they can clench down and take control. But right at the last minute, at the finish line, Donald Trump and the nationalist wave took over the world from Brexit, Europe, and here in America. And that spoiled their plans, kind of like a good Scooby-Doo show. And that's just what happened. And you're seeing the violent blowback as they're wrestling for that control at the very end of the finish line. That's what we're seeing. That's why this election truly is the most important.
I don't give
history.
A crap about the election. It's I like the graphic we have up there. And he goes, they're not after me. They're after you. I'm just in the way. And Trump on there. But, you know, I don't care what the election says. I really don't. It doesn't make any difference to me. Go to the stream. Frank and I are going to yak it without commercial interruption for a little bit, but I got to get going. We got to get the bus down to the paint shop. But the we'll yak it for a little bit because, you know, Frank and I got to, you know, got to talk some more.
Are you about to meet the media?
Yeah, no, because I don't care. The this is, you know, we had a really good long conversation on Frank's birthday. I called to say happy birthday, and we got the yakking, and I was, you know, I tell you what, we stopped one night at, instead of just doing all, you know, Walmarts and truck stops, we stopped at a KOA just because, and we did a one dairy one night that was part of this Harvest Host thing and got some ice cream and raw milk and, you know, some meats and everything, and it's just, you know, that's a way to go, man. We've done some roadside food stands and everything. I mean, if you know where to go, if you make the effort, you can bypass all this crap, and there's small farmers that are just begging to give you, you know, food you need. It's you know, here, you know, buy from me. I got all kinds of stuff. And that's what, and because Jay here, I don't know if you heard, Jay Noon got 600 hogs. They're down to like 20 of them, and they're done. He's got a bunch of cows. They're building a slaughterhouse. They get a 40-foot refrigerated truck for hanging the meat. They're feeding themselves. They're planting gardens. This is around the country. And I came here just to see, and I've been, you know, while he's doing work and kind of my trade out, I'm on a tractor taking boulders out of fields, man. You know, moving, cutting trees and kind of getting work done. So while they're painting the bus, I'm not going to be able to work on it, so I'm going to be a farmer. And this is, we had a young woman, she's in like 31, 32, moved up here now from Massachusetts and was doing some cannabis grow in California and then moved back and living up here at Jay's in a nice trailer. And she's just taking care of plants and doing, you know, so I'm, and looking for a husband. So, you know, and a cute thing too. So I probably won't have too much of a trouble. She's just got to find a non-soy boy man. What the hell? Where are the men? That's one thing I'm starting to see in this throughout time. The women are stepping up. It's the men. Where are the freaking, that's why Jay is doing, you know, man camp and all that kind of stuff. Because they have beaten the manness out of everything.
Oh, I completely agree. I mean, I gave an essay back when I was in college called "The Esternization, the Feminization of America," and we, of course, today it's pretty much obvious. I mean, men have forgotten how to be men. They're soy boys, and we see this. I've seen the fight on this with the culture war going on, which also we've covered on the show. It's very integral into what is happening. But I won't get too sidetracked on that. But I'm watching the people, the men who have been put in charge of these corporations. And mainly it's been women or black women or minority in order to score these woke points. It's all been capitulation of points. Now, of course, the white men are still in charge at the very, very top. But in order to explain and justify them still being in charge, they will always put, of course, some black people somewhere else to score those points. Many times also, you saw another shift in this was after the Me Too movement, because many of these guys were caught up in the Me Too movement. And in order to keep their jobs, like, okay, extortion again, I'll fire some white men below me and put in some token people. Now, I'm going to be really clear for all you SJWs that are always looking for problems and looking to play victim of any comment. I am not in any way saying that a minority or a woman or a black woman cannot do a job equal to a man. I get all that. But when you turn around and you decide that you're just going to hire off of one specific group, you are limiting ultimately possibly the best talent wherever it might be coming from. And we've been seeing this for not just months or years, but, you know, for almost a generation now, you know, from diversity hiring that started, you know, a long time ago. And we're seeing that even with Harvard. I mean, Harvard had that lawsuit recently with Asian Americans, you know, suing Harvard for racial discrimination that they were putting black students ahead of Asians who had much, much better skills and grades and everything. And they just said, suck it, you know, because they want woke points. So we've been doing this for so long. It started off with good intentions, as everything tends to be when people turn to government to rectify things and make things fair. I know you kind of recoil from hearing that, of course, Ernie. But what's turned into is businesses, politicians, everything in society. The leadership is now infiltrated by, I would say, I don't know, I'm not going to just, I can't make up a number. I don't know, I guess I will. 20, 40%, 50, I don't know. But a large percentage of the talent base in our country now has been appointed by people that maybe weren't the best person for the job. And so now when push comes to shove, you're seeing the cracks. You're seeing sort of like a weakness from within, because it's not just a couple people. The entire infrastructure has been put in place of people that were hired over political issues, not necessarily talent. So we don't have the best of the best running this country. And no, that doesn't mean white men, for you SJWs looking again, trying to find problems. That's not the point. So there's a lot of this. And then, of course, like you said, the Esternization of America is a huge component. And I want to do a call out. What is the author? I forget his name. He made the he's a good libertarian a guy out there. He did the series of three books called The Manual for Manhood. What was his name?
Boston Tea Party.
It was the Boston Tea Party?
Yeah, it was Boston.
Oh, okay, yeah. I didn't know as far as name. But that the Manual for Manhood.
His name's Ken Royce, but he goes by Boston Party.
Oh, okay. I didn't know. I just knew him. He was at your house, and I got to meet him firsthand. Mm. Amazing gentleman. Represents manhood to me. And I'll tell you, these three books, they're like a series, like kind of like the trilogy. Highly recommend. I guess hopefully it's on Amazon. I'm not sure. But as a matter of fact, I don't keep many books. Manual for Manhood. And I kept it for my nephews, for people, overall in my life. Highly recommend. There's poems in there. It's about history. It's teaching men what they need to be men. So if you're thinking of a Christmas gift or something, guys, check it out. And for you ladies listening right now, just look it up. Manual for Manhood. I think anyone with a college degree of the last 20 years, I think, should read that one. But anyway, I don't want to get too much onto that. So yeah, this is a much larger issue. It's a cultural issue. And that's what I've said on the show for quite a while. This is going to come down to, you have to pick a side at this point about what our culture, what direction this country is going to go in. I know, and you and I have had this argument about voting. I'm not in any way, let me just be clear, that voting is the end all. I get that. But it's part of the culture change. I look at the vote, and whatever the election is part of the culture. You're seeing people come out. You're seeing people being suppressed in their views. And what do you think a suppressed view will do? It makes people more activated in other areas. So the vote is integral into the greater scheme that you see of this overall culture shift or freeing of minds, and ultimately just turning from the system altogether and say, suck it, and I'm going to do it on my own. And you're right. That's what the man is seeing. They're seeing the star system slip through their fingers as towards the finish line, the Soroses who thought they had it. Remember, this is worldwide. We just saw how Brexit, when they finally had their second or third vote that made it official, they saw the equivalent of California and New York going Republican. That's what they just saw in Britain just a few months ago, when they finally, after years of them being told that you're a racist if you voted for Brexit, and all these little shenanigans to try to overthrow the Brexit vote, and the years of the BBC acting like their own CNN and lying and twisting everything. And we sit back, like you said, Ernie, and you start to think that your neighbors believe whatever they see on TV, and that you're alone, and you're not alone. And that vote came, and oh boy, it was a historic vote showing where the culture really is, the silent majority, who those people that are telling you how to believe and telling you that you should capitulate to the man in the system and self-flagellate and take a knee and all of this crap, that they are the minority. They are the minority. And I know that feels for a lot of you, it feels like they're not, that they're, you know, omnipresent, but they want you to believe that. You are the majority. The American people, we still have that culture. We are the majority. And I know you don't like to vote, Ernie, but I'm telling you, this is a, if nothing else, a symbolic gesture to say that we still are here and we, the people, are still in charge. And that's what Trump represents to many, many people. And that's what this election is going to be. It's going to be America's turn after Brexit, and then it's going to be all of the EU's turn. I mean, heck, they're about to throw the French prime minister out on his proverbial ass. They're about to throw him out. Viktor Orban is like soaring in popularity as the nationalist over in Hungary. You know, you've got the Italian five-star league that's taking over. I mean, this is the moment, a worldwide moment. This is, I think, historians will look back and they're going to see this George Floyd event as kind of like, you know, Lexington and Concord, right? It's going to be the shot heard around the world, or the knee felt or seen around the world. It's going now. Granted, you know, there was a lot that led up to this, to the American Revolution. There was a lot that led up to this sort of thing. It's the Boston Tea Party, many other things that led up to it. But there was that one moment, that catalyst that you don't see at the time. You know, it's only in history when you look back and you kind of see, okay, where was the flashpoint? I think that we are now in the true civil war, now, whether it's the American Civil War or maybe it's the worldwide civil war. It's the worldwide cultural civil war, perhaps. But I think historians will look back and say that we are now entering it now. And what happens often when you see these sort of these insurgencies and these civil wars is there's always the discussion, then debate, then people try to shut you down. And then when that flashpoint hits, then what you see through history is the taking sides. And that's what we're seeing now. It's sort of like the time of debate is over. I mean, not that I don't want to. This audience has been spending more than our fair share trying to talk with our neighbors and our friends and people who say, I don't want to talk politics. I want to talk about sports. And many of us have been shunned and frustrated by people for years who wanted to be ostriches with their head in the sand. But now it's time. The reckoning is here. And from years and years of people not paying attention, not caring that their kids are coming home indoctrinated from their professors in school, telling them that their own parents who paid for their college, you know, are white privilege and should be self-flagellating themselves. It goes on and on. And we, the people, have allowed this to happen by not standing up, by feeling always, well, I got to whisper and I don't want to say what I really believe. And, you know, I'm being shunned and shamed into silence. Well, if you've been doing that on your Facebook and friends and at work, and not just quitting your job and saying, I'm not going to work around Nazis. If you're going to be doing that, well, then now is what we've, you know, you kind of like the bed that we've made. And now this is what we have. But now we're at this point, and now it's an issue of picking sides, which I hate to sound that way. I cringe hearing myself. But that's really what we're seeing. We're seeing people waking up very quickly, red pilled. I have other examples I'm not going to go into. Just in the last week alone, of people I never even would have believed would have been activated in any way. So if that's happening now with people around me and Savarda's family and other people, you know, this is happening nationwide and worldwide. So come November, you know, we're going to see round four of the riots, assuming that Trump sweeps in. And I think it needs to be dominant. Even Democrat, there was a famous, well-known Democrat, I don't know his name, he was an associate of Tim Pool, who gave a talk on his podcast. Again, he did not mention the person's name, but an extremely prominent Democrat who told him privately that he's going to be voting Democrat. I'm sorry, he's voting for Trump. And he said that this is bigger than the old political parties. And he said the only way all of this crap will end is that Trump needs to win definitively. And that is exactly what I've been saying on your show. This can't be another little 50-50 and we're splitting hairs and Chads from Florida, hanging Chads and all this crap. I think this needs to be a cultural definitive, you know, this is who we are. And that's why I understand protest votes and don't vote and don't get back, whatever. This is a vote, a showing of our culture. And this is worldwide. So that's going to be historic. Then I'm going to take a break because I know I've been rambling. Thanks for letting me rant on this. But I want to also talk about riot number five, which is coming. And that is because of the crazy gamble. And I like to talk about in a second of upping the charges of from third degree to second degree murder in this police officer case, because that is that's something that needs to be talked about. But do you have any comments on my little rant? I appreciate it.
No, I'm, you know, I'm sitting here listening, and it's all based on the idea of voting. And I know that, so I just let you go. And then at the end of all that, I go, yeah, you're still voting. I'm, you know, it's blah, 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 blah. I don't trust the system. It's not where it's going to happen. And what's happening, you know, you want to do a bunch of these little stories and you go, all right. You know, the cops took a knee, and they made a big deal out of it that they capitulated and took a knee. Well, why did they take a knee? What was it? You know, they were tired of standing? They were, you know, showing solidarity for what? You know, is it, you know, the same take a knee in Minneapolis as it would be in Orlando? You know, sure as hell Phoenix would mean something different than Albany. So, everybody keeps thinking collectively, and that's not where it's going to happen, where people – out in the hinterland, they start seeing that this is about food, and they're going to go, you know, the only time I take a knee is to de-weed something. I don't even know what you're talking about. So I'm not seeing this. It's even what we talk about. You know, it's a Floyd thing. No, it's not a Floyd thing. It's a race thing. No, it's not a race thing. It's a power cop thing. No, it's not a power cop thing. It is shiny badges, you know, at all. You know, it's the debt, it's this, it's that, but nobody talks about what's really the driver behind all this. It's money. This is all going to be an economic crash. It's already happening. So what they're doing is that to keep hope alive, you know, is universal basic income. Don't worry about it. We got a check for you. You know, don't pay your mortgage. Don't pay your credit cards. You don't need to worry, but don't worry about it. It's all good. You know, keep hope alive. And I remember, I'm old enough to have remembered, you know, Jesse Jackson and Sharpton and the civil rights movement and MLK and all that, you know, as a kid, you know, seeing on the news all the time. And when everybody got shot, RFK got shot, you know, Martin Luther got shot, you know, all this stuff is happening. And I'm going, okay, now what? Well, here you came the shakedown. You know, we got, you know, Black Lives, you know, matter enough that you better be paying us some money or we'll call you racist. You know, so the money made by Jesse Jackson and Sharpton and everything was shaking down these different board of directors. And then they come in and go, all right, we'll work. I tell you what, you know, we'll pay you. We'll put you on salary. We'll give you some money. We'll capitulate to whatever the hell. But what we really want is we want control. What we really want is we need people in office to do our bidding and what we tell them to do. And while they're screaming about how they're going to have universal basic income or we're going to take a bunch of tax money from corporations to build permanent housing for homeless transsexual teenagers, which happened, you know, I'm going, wow, what was the purpose of all of this? It was control. It was to be able to get people to do exactly what they did. And how did they know that they were going to be able to do it? They were able to do it because of social media. And they knew what triggered you. What you know, it's a least amount of pain maximize, you know, the pleasure. I mean, you get this positive feedback loop of if I say this and do this, you know, I, you know, am liked more. If I say this and do this, I get laid more. If I say this to the point that you don't. They want you to believe you do, and you got your little Antifa crowd of, you know, we're all in this together, and we're going to go whip ass, and you get some kind of dopamine, serotonin, adrenaline hit of, you know, something, but it's not normal, and it's not sustainable. I guarantee that. You know, when somebody all of a sudden, and we're done with you, you're dead. You don't know anything of how – that's why we called the ship the precariat. When you have an entire generation living a precarious existence with big student debt, no skills, and no network to be able to bypass more than I want a universal basic income and I need the next iPhone everything. So I'm going, this is not sustainable. And it's so easy now with communication, with the internet and history and videos and documentaries and research of guys like Corbett and others. You know, you look at this stuff and you go, wow, This has happened before. This is an ongoing thing. This has been, the philosophy has been around for 100, 200, whatever, 100 years. And I tell you what made it so much, I just never really had an understanding of what drove this until you made the big point about the sociopath next door. When you started going on about Hillary and Crew and all these guys, that the sociopath, and I go in, and then it just dawned on me just yesterday. I was sitting there talking, and I go, yeah, these criminals, they have this. I go, oh, I remember the phraseology in the 70s when I was a kid, the criminal mind, the criminal mind. They go, yeah, he has a criminal mind. And I forgot that phrase. A lot of people probably haven't even heard it for a long time, if ever, but it used to be, he has a criminal mind. Well, then they're going, well, he had three strikes and you're out because he had a criminal mind. Well, selling drugs to people that voluntarily you want to sell them to voluntarily want to get them, that's not a criminal mind. They're just looking at doing their policy. A criminal mind is that they don't give a crap what happens to you. They don't care what it is. Just whatever the benefit that they get, regardless of what happens to other people. And then you get the psychopath, is that they actually get pleasure out of screwing with you. So when you start to, over a period of time, and you start to realize that not only do these people exist, they are rewarded by a system. The system itself is sociopathic. The system itself has no empathy for the individual. They'll say they do, just like a sociopath. Oh, because I love you and it's for your best interest. Not gonna give me all your money that I can rip off. Oh, and I didn't shed too many tears. Because why? You voluntarily gave it to me. It's not my fault you're stupid. You know, and that happens all the time. So what was the purpose of government? Force and fraud. Well, it's a fraud. This fraud that they're perpetuating on the American people, on what they're doing with your tax money, what they're benefiting, you know, the working class, these guys in pensions, Social Security, it's all bullshit. And it's going to come down. And the manifestation of it, you can see it. It's lights on the horizon. You know, it's a Brexit thing. It's different individual nationalistic cultures and countries of whatever. There's some politician or activist out there saying something. But most of the leadership is coming from people like Jay that are just doing it. They're just doing it. So now, what do we have to look forward to? There's going to be a great culling, a reckoning. And they think, those bad guys, think they're going to do away with a whole bunch of the riffraff out here. And a lot of them are the very people that they've promised, you know, a sea container with everything a body needs, gruel out of the municipal, you know, gruel system, you know. And I'm going, they're not. You guys are the first roadkill. You know, this, I don't even have to fight him. I'm just, you know, waiting for you guys to die off. And then what's going to happen? It's going to be those that are sustaining themselves, that are living well, and then against what? Some drones? You know, a Hellfire missile? I mean, this is so obvious and inevitable of what's going to happen. When it does, there's going to be a reset. There's not going to be, you know, any of these benefits that they keep promising. The pensions are going to go. It's going to be inflated money out the ass. It's going to go back to precious metals. And it's global. This is a global takeover. So yep. When we start to see the philosophy, that's what I couldn't understand. I go, who are these people? It doesn't matter who they are. It doesn't matter, you know, where they are. It doesn't matter what secret handshake club thing they do. It's the driving philosophy behind why they do it. What is the why? What are they thinking? Well, it's because they're fucked up in the head. They are not the majority of human. They're human because there's always 4 or 5% of whatever people that don't have this empathy, and then they go around convincing you that you need a government and create shiny badges and consolidation of power to protect us against them, and they're the ones that did it, and they're the ones that get the power. And what the hell did you think was going to happen? So
Ernie, can I echo off that? You used some really good points there. I'm not going to do my whole rant on sociopathy. For those of you that might be interested, I've given some talks on Freedom's Phoenix in detail about the science of sociopaths. They make up 4% of the human population. That is a lot, right? I mean, it's like, you know, 4 out of every 100 people that you meet are sociopaths, and they're not twirling their mustaches with the evil music, sinister music on behind the scenes like some movie. These are people that could just be like, you know, just the person next door, and you don't know. Matter of fact, the book that Ernie referenced, it's called The Sociopath Next Door.
Hell, a lot of times they don't know.
Be married to one and not even know it. But I want to show a correlation of what Ernie was talking about. Just one of the points about sociopaths. If you take a normal regular person, right, he's not a sociopath. You do a brain study, put them in a CT or MRI machine. I forget how they wind up doing this, but they do a brain study, and they show images while they're in the machine of happy things, you know, unicorns, rainbows. I don't know, Donald Trump being elected, at least for me. Anyway, the point is that you show happy things, and then you see the pleasure part of the brain light up. Right? Now, if you show the same things to a sociopath, it doesn't light up. Right? Nothing lights up. Now. Now, when you turn around and you show now to a normal person images of pain, of suffering, people crying, another part of the brain lights up, the area for empathy, okay, the empathic part, to just have caring, and you go, oh, you know, and you have empathy, obviously. Now, a sociopath, the same images of showing people suffering, what would you expect? Well, many of you are probably going to say, oh, well, the pleasure center opens up and lights up when they're seeing people suffering. The answer is that's not correct. That actually surprised researchers. That's not what lights up. What lights up is the part of the brain that focuses on strategy, on chess playing. That's the area that lights up.
How to take advantage of it.
Exactly. They get off. They get their serotonin fix by figuring out how they can use something and have dominance over you at your expense. And therefore, as Ernie just pointed out, it's not just the individuals, it's the system. Think about what the most famous saying that we've heard since the Clinton administration came out from, was it Roger Ayers maybe, which was never let a crisis go to waste. That statement symbolizes the whole point of a sociopath.
Rahm Emanuel.
Don't let a crisis take advantage of it and manipulate. That is a sociopathic way of thinking. It's right there.
Yeah, and the system is that way. And it wasn't. You know, it really was Dr. Frank years ago when we started doing the Trump report that he started during the 16 campaign before the election. He was going on about this. And all of a sudden, the more I started to, that's all I ever saw. You know, I'm going, okay, now it makes sense. Now I understand what's going on. These people are, they either have no empathy, or they are funded by people with no empathy and they're being BS'd in whatever they think they're doing. And they're willing to, you know, rationalize and justify the ends, justify the means of whatever the hell they got to do to get what they want. And what they want and need is control over you for your own benefit, of course, because they love you so much. But that's not true, of course, because they don't have any empathy. They're doing it because they can. They're doing it because they need to. They're doing it because no other reason other than they benefit. And then they get together and then they bond themselves together because that's in their benefit, because they don't care. They're not empathetic. They need to test. They need to make sure. They need to skin a baby in front of the whatever to, you know, grow from the warmth of the evil of I got horns on. I mean, I used to describe to my kids and anybody else in the night when I first started doing this, and, you know, I go to Bible study and, you know, read the Bible and kind of get, and you kind of start to see that humanity's been dealing with this forever. And they, in Kings, they, or Samuel, I think it was, whatever, they go to God, oh, we need a king. He goes, no, you don't. Yeah, 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 we want a king. He goes, no, you don't. Like three times he's going, you don't need a king. You don't want a king. Oh, yeah, we do. He goes, all right, you asked for it. Here you go. Well, it was a warning. You don't want to consolidate this power. Don't do it. Quit at it. Well, everybody else has got one. You know, I'm going, wow. So to have the Bible itself and a lot of the teachings in there that would demonstrate what they were dealing with was sociopathy. That always has been, always will be. Because sometimes you need these souls. In fact, they give them drugs and whatever to make them more this way so they can be better combat. Kill, 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 and basic training kind of stuff. World War One, you know, a lot of people never even killed anybody. You know, they would aim high, low, not really. They didn't want to, you know, kill. Then it, you know, by the time they got to Vietnam, they're like, man, we got to make killing machines out of these guys. So this is, you know, now we just get drones. So this is what humanity is coming up against. It's a philosophy. What makes us most human? Well, these sociopaths are part of humanity. They drive humanity. It might be of advantage in some ways. You know, it's like humanity that gets more of this and that. I don't know. We've adapted. We've overcome. But what happens? It's always a vast majority of empathetic people are what drives families. If you are, I tell you, I was thinking about this. I go, how does empathy procreate? How does empathy get more babies? How does empathy dominate in our species? How did that happen? Why? You know, God said, you know, more empathy, you know, love of thy brother or whatever. I mean, you know, well, one of the things is that if you're not empathetic to your spouse, you care how they feel. Well, how they feel determines a lot. Even a sociopath knows this. How you make them feel is how they'll feel about you. But that only goes on for a certain period of time. You can keep that up. So now you have empathy that goes, you know, towards I care with you, I love you, you know, let me rub your feet, stroke your back. Oh, we go back and forth. And you make more babies, okay? So I'm going, all right. So empathy, it creates more of a family, a tribe. You're not an outcast. You're not, you know, deleted from the gene pool or whatever. So empathy, I think, has a role in human society, but it also makes us more collective, more social, more whatever. So what does a sociopath do? They take advantage of that trait. Yeah, you need to be afraid of people like me. It's not me, but people like me, you know. And I'm going, all right, and I'm just, I guess, sensitive enough to what they, them, those are trying to do or how they do it or been around it. And I could just feel it. And I go, these guys are not right in the head. There's something wrong. And it may not even be wrong. They're human. They're just this kind of human. And an entire system has been created mostly by them or certainly co-opted by them to serve their interest and not ours. So whenever it's a collective solution of let's go vote, I'm going, that's the wrong way to look at this. It's quit empowering them. You'll start, you know, it's going to be about food. It's going to be about, you know, not being too hot, too cold, too thirsty, too hungry, too whatever. You know, being out in this land as we're driving across the country, there is not a shortage of space for humanity. I don't give a shit what they say. It is open, open, open of, oh, my God, let me have a couple acres right there. I mean, anywhere. Hell, I may be in the desert, I'm happy. So this is, I see this working its way out as it has throughout history. The problem is that now we have to where these decisions and impacts of these people are global with a nuclear device. But what do we have? Communication, network, you know, the ability to talk to each other. And so what do they have to do? They have to take that over. They have to ban this. You can't do that. Last night we had all these talk shows. I started getting emails. I was checking, you know, a lot of these guys want to have me, you know, come on their shows and so on now because of all the stuff we were talking about. And I'll tell you, you know, this is the solution. It's not going to be, you know, the next YouTube killer or the better YouTube than being nicer, which they are starting to do. I had James Corbett on yesterday, and he was saying, now he's been saying for the last few weeks that all of a sudden YouTube is starting to recommend a lot of his videos again. You know, it's like, oh, they're being less censored. They're being, you know, because it's so freaking obvious. I don't know what they're afraid of, why they're doing that. I think they're starting to see people move to other platforms. But what are the other platforms? We're going to have to start doing our own servers. I've been trying to hold this off. Screw them. We'll just do it ourselves because we can. We got the IPFS. We got our own server. We'll just, you know, host our own videos. I'm tired of waiting on BitChute take so freaking long. I'm tired of being able to, you know, not be able to do Float. I'm tired of Library taking long. I'm tired of DJ. I'm tired. You guys had your chance. How much of a freaking chance should I have to give you? I could always have done this myself. I was trying to promote one of you guys to be able to do it. They're not. Boom. Decision made. Solution found. Problem over. By the end of this month, we're going to be start doing our own thing. And it's because I wanted to have the catapult channel. I put up a little furry baby white kitten being catapulted into a cactus, and you can't take it down. Well, if it's on my stuff and an IP, it ain't coming down. Now what? Do I open it up to other people? Do I start, you know, fine, pay me. It costs this much. You pay me this much and we'll manage the servers. If that's what it's got to take, then they go hellfire missile after. I'm telling you, this battle is on. This is it. This is because the people, for the first time, has had the information, been able to share it, an understanding of what they're up against, and then you saw manifestations of things like Brexit and Trump getting elected, where I don't see it as a benefit. I don't give a shit. You know, it's just another guy saying he's going to rule me better. But it wasn't the guys they wanted, you know, and that scared the shit out of them that, hey, it's not who we wanted. It mucked up our plan. It did. So what are we going to do? We're going to have riots in the streets and everything to keep Obama from getting arrested. I'm like, what? You know, so I am, and this one graphic that's showing up, in reality, they're not after me. They're after you. I'm just in the way. You know, and that rang true. That one graphic, I'm going, yeah, I can feel this is, but when I come up here, why am I so refreshed? I'm out plowing, man. I'm out digging, making food, right, making hay while the sun's shining, rocking and rolling, whatnot, seeing these people build up their ability to outlast these guys. So what do they have to do? And this is what I was worried about a few years ago, got 4 or 5 years ago now. We're in Washington State, and a neighbor of one of our friends, he put up a grain silo, and they had a guy had to inspect, okay, it's not going to fall over, you can, like, use it or whatever. And then there was another guy with a GPS thing on his back over there. Who the hell are you? Oh, I'm from the Department of Federal something. We are marking where all the grain silos are. What? Why? Well, so we can take it when we want to. Oh, okay. You know, I'm like, well, what do you think is coming? You know, this is being planned. You're not going to have the food. This is how they starved out tens of millions, 40, 80 million people in the Soviet Union and Ukraine. They just took their food. And the ability to make it. And, you're, you know, we're going to beat your plowshares into bullets and take them from you. So this is why we're doing this trip, to show and inspire that there are solutions. The solution is ignoring them. You're still voting? Plant freaking the radish. God dang it, man. Get off your ass and start preparing for yourself. That's my opinion. Did I lose Frank?
No, I'm here. I just, I think my speaker may have broken there. I'm not sure. I completely agree. I mean, I know you and I both kind of get close to the middle of the tennis court when it comes to the voting issue. You know, I mean, we're probably not crossing sides, but I understand your point of view. You understand mine. You understand it's not that I'm sitting there, you know, and what I keep trying to point out, and I'm sure you do get this, is that for a lot of people, especially in the libertarian movement that are supporting Trump and are voting, it's not that we're sitting there going, wow, I can't wait to vote. And I sit there and pull the lever and let the system sit there and baby me. And I go back to sleep and watch my sports. And I trust the system after putting a vote in. That's not what this is. This is a vote more of like of showing your culture, of showing who you are. And the fact that Trump, and I sound like a broken record, the fact that Trump's president proves the system works at least enough, and we've created and we have this entire fight. So there is a part to this. So are you talking to me or her?
No, I was telling Donna we got to do a artwork thing with Tony and Marie. And,
but as far as Bobby, the sociopaths, you know, it's interesting. You know, when you sit back, when you start realizing that we're about 4% of the human population, which means it's not just America. You know, when they've done these studies in other countries. So it seems to be a human issue. And it's like sociopaths, they don't have long relationships, but they're good enough to be able to spread their seed around. That's why they tend to have kids with like multiple women, you know, and it's the people with empathy that tend to stay with one person. Now, it doesn't mean that you're a sociopath if you happen to cheat or you divorce or something. I mean, it happens to different people for different reasons. But what I mean is that there's at least caring. When people are divorcing, a lot of times, even if they do something bad, they tend to have at least some guilt about it.
Yeah, it's the word. I was just going to say that. The word is guilt. There's no guilt. There's no shame for a lot of these people. And that's why they see it as a weapon. They go, the weak herd out there, we got to shame them. We're shaming. Yeah. That's their weakness, is shaming. They're going to shame. You know, the people that want you to be shamed more than anything else feel no shame.
And the other thing that sociopaths do, and I'm sure a lot of you are starting to figure this out, is they always blame the other side for what they themselves are doing.
Yep.
So they're the ones committing the crime, and then they point, they say, look at him. And everyone looks in the wrong direction. It's the ultimate magician trick. And they pulled this off for so long. So it doesn't mean Republicans are innocent or anyone else is innocent of everything, but you're seeing the trend where everything that Trump and other people have been accused of, they themselves have done. Everything from Ukraine to dealing with Russia. I mean, we can go on and on and on. I mean, there's a thousand examples that this audience could pull together. But that's what they do. They accuse the other side. They accuse the other side of being racist, and yet they themselves are the race baiters. You know who famously understood this? It was Malcolm X. Hmm. Malcolm X, I'll tell you, you have to check out some of his old videos. He sat there, and there's a lot to cull through there, but there's a very famous quote, I'm going to paraphrase it, which is that if you're dealing with the white man, because, you know, he didn't trust white people at all with this, the system. He said, look, it's the system, it's corrupt. You can't help it. It's just, you know, it's a white system. It is whatever it is. So we have to sit there and battle it from our point of view. But he said that between a white conservative and a white liberal, he'll always trust the white conservative. He goes, you know why? Because a racist white conservative will tell you that they're racist. They'll let you know that they don't care for you. He said the liberal debt. He says the white liberal, those are the people you to look out for, because they're the ones that pretend to be on your side and they don't. They're the ones that manipulate and use you. And this was back in, what, 1960 something with Malcolm X. I mean, he saw it from early on. Now, does it mean that all Democrats are sociopaths? Obviously not. However, sociopaths tend to get attracted to, or they gravitate towards people that make decisions more with their heart than their head.
Why?
It doesn't mean that they're stupid, but this is like a Myers-Briggs, you know, personality indicator. What's that?
Why do they do that?
Well, because it's easier to manipulate when people act on feelings, and that's the irony. The people with the most empathy are the ones that people without empathy can manipulate the quickest. And those of us that make decisions more with our head, it doesn't mean that we're all Spock, but when we're able to rationalize and look things separately, like looking at this video with George Floyd and saying, you know, I don't see anything racist about it. It doesn't mean that we're saying that black men have not been, you know, treated, you know, poorly and abused, and there's been
asshole cops with a knee on your throat. I'm not thinking race here. I'm thinking asshole cop.
No, exactly. And then if nothing else, it means that Dr. King, are we at the top of the mountain that he talked about? Maybe not yet, but I think we're pretty damn close, because you have this occur, and most of white America didn't see Floyd as a black man that got killed. We saw him as an American. We saw him as one of us, like 4409. How many times has
that? You know, that was one thing I had on. It was a I've had on, you know, several, you know, transgender, this, that, or they're supporting SJW something. And I'm going, you know, and be it racial stuff. We had the reparations professor on, and, you know, several times and all this kind of stuff. I'm just going, I thought the goal was for me not to care. I thought the goal was, you know, judged by character. I thought the goal was equality under the law. I thought the goal was it didn't matter. No, if you don't care and you don't give deference and you don't get on your knees to beg for forgiveness for your white privilege, then you're not woke enough. Blah, blah, blah. I'm going, this is dangerous. This is retro. This is going back to worse. This is not a solution. This is
all
bad.
Right,
this is evil.
You remember the quote? You must atone.
Right. You know, from Network. You know, mad as hell, I'm not going to take it anymore. You must atone for your sins. You know, this is, I'm hoping that, you know, I can ignore that, you know, whatever, and just go out and promote the solutions, which is kind of what I'm doing. But I think that we're going to, yeah, I'm pretty sure, or we're going to die as a species. We're going to go through the process of being aware of how bullshitted we were. We're going to, or a lot of people were. That I'm hoping they do, because if they don't, You know, there's going to be a separation, even in the freedom movement. I go, yeah, but, you know, the Constitution doesn't work if everybody got COVID. I'm like, what? Well, if you told the man that, guess what? They're going to make sure everybody gets COVID. And this second wave that they keep going on about in the fall, hell yeah, it's going to start getting cold. They're going to do something. They're going to have some dead bodies. You need dead bodies? Let me show you some dead bodies. You know, and if you make that the criteria, that's what they'll show you. Oh, it wasn't, we made you afraid, but we didn't have enough dead bodies. We can fix that. They did in Ukraine. That was their whole thing. They had people walking people in the kill zone so that they could have a bunch of dead bodies to get the U.S. State Department to come in and help. It was all planned. So this is, I'm like, get the hell out of the city. Get the hell out. And a lot of people, we have stories up on Freedom's Phoenix today. Rural land is getting expensive. I was thinking, yeah, land's going to go cheap in the economic collapse. Not when everybody wants to get out of the city. I go, you sons of bitches, man. I can never get a break here, man. So I got to, you know, work a deal with somebody or something. But it's, we're not going to be the only ones thinking this way. But that's not what they're going to try and depict on the media. That's not what the TV is going to say. That's not what the newscast is going to say. That's not what the newspapers are going to say. That's not what the magazines are going to say. That's not what the online, big, allowed, you're not going to get censored websites are going to say. They're going to say, you need to think this about that, and if you don't, you're going to be shamed out of existence. Nobody's going to buy your tennis shoes. Well, I'm going, I don't freaking care. I'm buying the moccasins if I retread made from, you know, tires and inner tubes from Fred over here and his wife Emily on the farm of Bite Me. You know, so this is, it's going to be so different that it's going to be envy is going to be, it's a seven deadly sins. Envy is going to start coming in. They're going to take where they have guilt and shaming they use. Then they're going to start using envy. We got to go to the suburbs. They got more than they deserve. They have too much and you don't have any. You need to go out and they're going to rationalize and justify it. Sooner or later, it's going to come down to guns. It's going to come down to defending yourself and your property because no one else will. The system's not there to do that. It's the opposite. They're taking away. They're using taxes and redistribution of and even debt taxes. All this stuff really got started as a mindset, as a rhetoric, since forever, but sure as shit during the first Clinton administration with Bill and Hillary Clinton, they were buddying up to China, and we're going to have to do this and that, and we got a plan, and here it come. And that's what the Clinton Foundation was set up on. Here comes the Soros guys, Obama and friends, you know, Secret Handshake Club. This is, it won't happen all at once. You'll see all this stuff, but it will happen overnight. Well, it's overnight. This is what I've been waiting on. This is the Freedom's Phoenix. That's why we're on the road. You know, like you, Frank, you say, God, Ernie, man, you timed that, right? How did you know? I'm like, how the hell did you not know? What the fuck were you looking at? You know, this is so neon flashing obvious at a financial level. But what did surprise me, what I did not anticipate, was how global it was. And at the same time, this seems like a end game or an act of desperation, or it's the time they wanted to pull the trigger, or there's, you know, the aliens will come visiting next year or something. But the solution is always the same. It's decentralization. It's piratswithoutborders.com. That has been our push. That's why we did that. I'm going, the solution is this. It's taking care of yourself and your family. It's emphasizing education and understanding. It's worrying about being able to, not too hot, not too cold, you know, not too thirsty, not too hungry. It's being able to communicate with your neighbors and your friends and whatever, and build a community of what Jay's doing up here. So it's amazing to see Derek and Jay work together. You know, they just got it all going. It's how many, you know, backhoes, tractors, scrapers, and bulldozers can we share with the computer Raspberry Pi or Arduino actuator of the log splitter? I mean, wow. I mean, it's just, they're going to be fine. And a bunch of other people are going to be fine because a certain individuals, not groups. Groups will benefit. Groups of like mind will, you know, circle together. But you will always have individuals that will propel and save humanity. it's going to be, whether it's an Elon Musk or it's a Jay Noon or a Derek Slopey or a Bob Anderson or, you know, whatever. These guys are the example and the inspiration for others. That's why I wanted to do this trip. That's why I wanted to come out here and do everything I could to stop this forced inoculation of every human being on this planet. They have to do that. And the second you get mandated notions and potions injected into your flesh and your family and your kids and your grandkids from the crown, that never, ever turns out well. Ever. That is, are you freaking kidding me? So when you go more rural, you know, you get away from that stuff for how long? And you look at these, I drive through these towns. Everybody goes, oh, avoid this city, avoid that city, avoid. Hell, I'm going to stay on the freeway. I'm going to get away. I'm going to go sightseeing. You know, I don't give a crap. You know, and I prefer better roads. I went 40 all the way to Nashville and then north instead of going through the Midwest, save a couple hundred miles, but, you know, I'd lose a freaking suspension. I mean, because they have such bad roads. They've been manipulating the people out of their tax money and spending on whatever the hell they're going to do. And now what do they want to do? Do away with the police force and put what in? Some capitulation of whatever you need of serve of more money, and we saved a couple hundred million that we can redistribute to our buddies over here. That's what's going on. They don't give a shit about law enforcement or any of that stuff. You know, not that I care. You know, just, you know, give everybody a 9mm and be done with it. But what are they doing? They're going to take the money and fund more of whatever the hell they got. You know, they're on their wish list. So the wish list is going to get filled by these guys. They're spending billions of dollars. And who got billions of dollars? The Buffetts, the Walmarts, the, you know, the Bezos, the, you know, consolidation of mom and pa. They're out of business. You go to jail, you open up your bill, but you can go to Walmart, you know, and get stuff, the same stuff. And I'm like, this has to be obvious, and I think it is. So that's what they're up against. But who has the shiny badge? Who's paying attention? Who's getting a permission slip? And who's ratting on everybody? Who's calling and saying, hey, they got a chicken in their backyard. They're growing tomatoes in the front yard. This happened in Arizona and Glendale. People, God forbid, you're growing food in your front yard. You know, I'm going, oh, my God. This is so stupid. So I see it come. This is it. Everything that I've been talking about for decades of what's happening, it's here. And what's the solution? To ignore them. Just find your own tribe. Find your own community. Start small. Grow food. Find a farm. Get a pig. Have them care for you. You butcher it, pay for it, kind of. And you go, yeah, but it'll be expensive. And I go, one, it's probably not going to be more expensive. And two, it's going to be freaking that you even have it and you'd be willing to pay any price to not die. That's what's going to happen. So I'm, and then, you know, get a fifth wheel, a home, a tiny shed, a plot of land, a relative. You know, get out of the city. Make it to where it doesn't matter. If you make it matter, it'll matter. And all of this, you know, the only time I watch when I go to bed, I'll put on Fox News to watch Tucker Carlson's monologue or whatever, just to see what he has to say. And that's enough right there to scare the crap out of you, you know, of what happened and who's it. But it's not because of what window got broke or, you know, some stupid 30-second video of somebody ran in and got some pillows out of a, you know, window front or stole a stereo or an iPhone or some shit. Nobody gives a crap about it. I'm like, yeah, whatever. It's not that. It's the violence. It's the fact that they're doing it. It's the fact that the media is pushing it. It's the fact that there's an agenda. It's the fact that they're trying to make you afraid. And when you go around town, you go, I don't see anything. What the hell are you guys talking about? It's all television. It's all manipulation. It's all BS. That is what's going on. So this Trump thing, you know, I can see it's Trump derangement syndrome, but it's not really Trump. It's I'm not even sure what the fuck it is. I'm going, what the hell are you so against? What does he even do? I'm not even paying. Who cares? You want what? What is it? What's going to make you happy? They don't even know. They're not happy. They want to be happy. I don't know what they want. You know, I don't think they do. It's just because the people that are controlling them, they keep flipping all the time. We want you to not wear a mask. You have to wear a mask. We want you to stay inside. No, you got to go out and protest. We want law and order. No, we need you to go break windows. We got cops going to beat the crap out of you. They're going to take a knee. It's back. It's so confusing, and it's all over the nation. So what's the solution? Ignore them out of existence. Stop paying your taxes. Stop. Shopping at Walmart. Stop. And I mean, I know it's not, I'm guilty of, Amazon and whatever equipment I need or something, but I'm trying. I go to some places for, instead of going to the grocery store, I go to the local farm. I find out who the local dairy is because I like raw milk. I go here to get the ice cream. I go to there and I buy this brand or I get, it's wallet voting. You need to start. I got walletvoting.com, back in 2003 for just this reason, and sooner or later it'll come up right. I go, wallet voting, and it'll probably be before this election. And I go, walletvoting.com. Why? Because I can see what's happening. It's going to be the manipulation they have to get you out of your money for them to do what with. I have no idea. More consolidation of control, and you're not allowed. So during all of this, we have as fast as they can possibly, how many starships can they build and how many robots can they build to make starships? Is all of a sudden he's like, yeah, and I got a million people in a decade of you guys sucking, I'm on Mars. Why do you think they're going? For the exact same reason they went to New England, to the New World. I mean, this is literally a new world. Because some people saw what was in place, what was going to happen, how freaking far away can I get, how fast. This is what's going on. Seasteading, bombing. There's no limit to these guys. What happens? And then what's Elon Musk going to do? Is he going to have a landing pad for, Starship Troopers, Space Force? Is he going to, we just want a little, landing pad over here. What kind of capitulation are they going to do? What kind of censorship on Starlink Internet are they going to have? What kind of surveillance are there, that goes straight to the man from Tesla cars? What kind of? They're going to, doing all these batteries and grid tie-ins of your car to be able to balance the whole grid and run it off of solar and people's cars and do it when they don't need, plants anymore. Probably have a couple of nuclear plants for baseload. But, I'm going, this is awesome. How much control is there? Who's going to get switched off? Who has the power to do it? This is what I'm looking about, decentralization. The solar on this bus has been saving our ass. So I'm the batteries, we got lithium iron phosphates, man. These things kick ass. I got as much power in this bus as Bob has at his house. I am looking at what the hell has to happen. And what Frank keeps going on about, it's Trump and another election cycle. And Frank, I'm telling you, this election cycle may be a cycle and people paying attention, but the vote, it's not going to matter, and I don't believe it anyway.
Did you get some oxygen?
Hey, man, I got to express myself. We're not going to talk for a whole nother week.
Hey, no, I can't disagree with anything you're talking about. I feel like we go round and around on that whole the Trump vote thing. But, I just want to point out, I am not in any way thinking it's an end all. It's not the means to an end. Everything you said is completely correct. But as part of wallet voting, OK, you're also voting. It's cultural voting. To me, that's what this vote is. I don't know how many times I keep saying it from my point of view. This is not a vote like I'm voting for Bush, I'm voting for Mitt Romney, and we'll see what happens. No. I never voted for any of those. Well, fill in the blanks. Never voted for him, But the thing is, this is not about voting a Republican. It's basically if you want to give the middle finger to the entire system, to really keep it very simple, and I hate to dumb it down that much, there's more to it than this. It deals with culture. Donald Trump, with all of his crazy tweets and what have you, it's like Archie Bunker. Imagine Archie Bunker as president. Archie Bunker had a really good heart. That was why he was such an endearing character. He had many flaws, but an enduring heart. Archie Bunker represented everything that was good and also bad about America in one person. That's why that chair of his is in the Smithsonian Institute today. It represents so much. And Donald Trump is like that. He has a great heart, but he's got that big bully pulpit chair. We call it a Twitter account and whatever else that comes out. And, you know, I know my mother every time. Why can't he just stop tweeting this kind of thing? And yeah, there's a lot of reasons. But without getting into all of that, that is what this vote is. It's more about a vote of culture. It's like wallet voting. It's cultural voting. I'm not in any way, Ernie, and I can be clear. I know you know this about me. I know you're making your point. I get that. I know you're not that obtuse with what I'm saying. And many people out there who are supporting Donald Trump, many libertarians, we all get it, okay? We're not just turning our brains off and surrendering to the man because now someone else with the shiny badge is in charge and he just happens to be Trump. And, yeah, Trump, yeah, he's my man. No, that is not what this is. He is representing basically the destruction of the establishment, the exposure of the establishment, the fact that people still have some voice and in any way, in any capacity, you know, and be able to expose. I mean, just think what he's done in 4 years is more than what any anti-establishment group has done, including the Libertarian Party, God bless them. He's done more to expose the system, to expose the deep state. My God, just look at it. I mean, he's exposed them. Now, granted, the left will ignore it. They're not covering it. I mean, now all of a sudden, Rod Rosenstein was getting grilled this past week. Nobody even paid attention. I mean, that was the equivalent of Watergate on steroids of what we just saw. We didn't even talk
about it. Wait. I want to hear about Rod Rosenstein. What happened?
Man, where's my gun? I want to stick it to my head. I can't handle this. Rod Rosenstein, the whole thing, Rod Rosenstein, he was finally pulled in front of the Senate. Was the Senate, was it the Judicial Committee, I guess it was? Yeah, Ted Cruz and a whole bunch of them finally grilling him about essentially signing the FISA warrants and who's in charge and who's going to be responsible for basically signing a FISA warrant where the reason they signed it, the reason they gave permission for the government to be spying on Trump. And hence the information, the so-called facts or evidence that led to the Mueller report and this entire Russia collusion thing all came back to, no surprise to our audience because we've been following this for years, is that it came back to basically false information that was planted, bought, and paid for by the Democrats, by the DNC. Now, I know already, Ernie, you're probably yawning and getting frustrated. To you, this is just, you know, he said, she said, you know, it's like, ouch, quit it, which is—
No, I was waiting for this.
Well, the thing is, it came out, not to rehash this whole thing, but keep in mind that the Ukraine impeachment crap, which most of you probably already forget, technically why Trump was impeached, and it had nothing to do with Ukraine, but I want to get into that. The reason they had to throw another Hail Mary impeachment hearing or trial after Mueller fell apart was because during Mueller, all of the deep state operatives were pulled under oath. They were pulled under oath to say, okay, you keep saying that there's evidence that Trump colluded with Russia and this and that. Put up or shut up. There's no cameras. This is it's under oath, but this will not be seen for at least a year until the Freedom of Information Act kicks in. So you have to tell us, do you have information or not? And every one of them, you know, Comey, Strzok, Page, all these guys are getting pulled in. They all came out and said, no, there's nothing there. And that is why so many conservatives were so confident, including the president, that there was nothing there. It's why Trump kept saying this is all witch hunt. He knew it was because he had already heard as many in the Republican Party. They heard them under oath say there's nothing there. Then they would get right back on TV on CNN and say, like Peter Schiff. Adam Schiff. excuse me. Adam Schiff, the sociopath, would sit there the next day and say, I saw the evidence with my own eyes. It exists. Trump is definitely a Russian agent. I've seen it with my own eyes. And then under oath, he said there was nothing there, you know, essentially. Now, I mean, granted, Adam Schiff was not put under oath because he was lead counsel. But everyone else like Adam Schiff that were on these shows, James Clapper, all of them said there was nothing there under oath. But the problem is that they know that they lied, but they had to get Trump out. And they thought Mueller would have worked. It didn't. So therefore, in January of this year, the Freedom of Information Act would kick in and all of that testimony would start to come out. So they knew they only had a few months or a year at that point to get him on something else. Hence the, quote, trumped up charges on Ukraine. That's why that whole thing just felt rushed. It felt like, where is Ukraine coming from? And then they eventually impeached him on a technicality, on simple, not was it was a technicality. The impeachment, for those of you who don't even know, had nothing to do with Ukraine. It was simply that Trump got tired of this secret house impeachment hearing that never ended. And every time they kept asking for documents and nothing came out of it. And Trump finally said, after a month of it, because he was looking weak and Republicans were looking weak, not putting an end to it. Remember, they invaded the room that one time. They got accused of bullying the Democrats. Trump finally said, enough is enough. I'm not giving you any more documents. Because the next time he asks for documents, whatever it is, it doesn't matter what it is. If you ask me for documents, I'm not going to give you, I'm not giving you any more documents. And then if you want, we can take that to the Supreme Court. And the minute he said no more, because he gave everything that they wanted, they said, aha, you're not turning them over. That's obstruction of justice. And now we're going to impeach you for obstruction of justice. And Trump's like, and his team's like, we're not obstructing anything. We're doing what you guys do every single Tuesday, which is not turn over records. Heck, you people delete them with secret email servers and all of that. All we're doing is saying, after all this time, we're just putting a break.
Well, I definitely want to. I want to get caught up on the. I got to get to another Zoom thing and doing some design stuff.
All right,
but I want to talk about the Rosenstein and the testimony and all this stuff.
Because
whenever these fights and riots and everything is going on, it's time to check your six. What's going on that they don't want you to know about? That's what's happening.
Yeah. Well, I mean that's the thing. So, but all that leads to Rosenstein was one of those people that was caught up in. And signing the FISA warrants that was all
which we all
based off
anyway,
of the false evidence that I was just talking about. So anyway, finally, he's one of the first ones on the chopping block to come out. But just what I'm trying to get to is that January.
Well, get to it.
When,
I gotta go.
All right. Well, January is when all the stuff was supposed to come out, and once it came out, that's when the coronavirus thing started. So Trump sat on it for a while to deal with the virus, and then when the virus began to peter out. That's when all of a sudden the facts came out that these people lied under oath a year or so ago. And that's when you saw the push after the coronavirus, the worst part of it, about Spygate. And he called it Obamagate. And then the riot issue comes exactly at the same time that Rosenstein was scheduled to talk.
It's to keep the riots were to keep Obama out of jail. That's why I said that. Yeah.
So anyway, well, I guess we got to go. Next time, I do want to talk, Ernie, about this upgrading from third degree to second degree murder charge and what that really means as far as repeating the riots all over again. Are they intending on purpose to up the charge so that therefore they will not be found guilty on a higher charge and therefore let go? And you've got L.A. riots times 1,000 all over again. Or is by upping it to second degree really important, maybe it's very good, because that implies what I've said in the beginning of the show, is that it's not about race, that these two knew each other and there was something else. Maybe it was a dirty cop.
Oh, yeah, we didn't get to talk about that they knew each other as bouncers from a club or something.
Exactly. So there's more of a chance that this was they were fighting over a woman. I mean, maybe they're fighting over a drug.
Yeah,
deal.
I got a badge.
Who knows? And
I got to go, got to go, got to go, got to go, got to go. Wait, people waiting.
It wasn't racial. All right, man. I'll catch you later. Nice chat.
All right, buddy. Bye.